morning and welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, FPC, to our members and friends, a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Sharon Brownfield and I serve as the Vice President of the Board of Trustees. So the Reverend Cindy Landrum is our minister and will be conducting today's second virtual drive-in service from her usual place at the pulpit in our sanctuary. If this is your first time joining us, woohoo! We welcome you. We invite you to check out our website page. It's fpc-stowe-acton.org for news and information, which is constantly being updated. When we all can meet together physically again, you are also welcome to sign our guest book and take literature from the church life table at our coffee hour. Following the service, for those joining us by video or phone, you are invited to join us for a virtual coffee hour where we will randomly put you in a small group with 4 to 6 other people who you can chat with, which was a great experience last time. Our virtual coffee hour discussion groups will last about 15 minutes and is an opportunity to meet and reconnect with others in the community. Those in our parking lot are invited to get out and chat with each other at the end of the service, but please try and maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet. Reverend Cindy will also invite you to honk horns at the end of the postlude. And here are some of the major announcements. Again, we wanted to mention that we will be holding virtual Sunday services at 10 a.m. through the end of March. That includes next Sunday when we have a guest minister, Walter LaFleur, for those of you who remember him. And then we will reevaluate the need for isolation given the state of the COVID-19 epidemic. The sanctuary will be closed, but you will be able to attend services via Zoom link published on our website and to our friends and members via our email list, or by driving to the church parking lot and tuning FM radio to 107.7. Again, in lieu of the pandemic, all committees and other meetings, we are really encouraging you to meet online, meeting applications, and an email was sent out so that you know that there are others within the community who could give you a Zoom link. We are assessing the different activities at the FPC, which brings us joy and community, and especially needed in this time of quarantine. So please watch your email and our website for updates. As you may know, our annual auction has been rescheduled to May 16th, and the deadlines for donations have been extended to April 5th. For those of you who are Zooming in with us, we ask that as a courtesy to other participants, you mute your speaker microphone in the lower left corner of your screen when you are not actively participating. Karen Kinnear or Katie Weeks may sometimes mute all speakers except Cindy's if they hear too much feedback. Please don't be offended if they do. It's for the enjoyment of everyone in our community. When we expect to hear your voice, please go ahead and unmute your microphone. For those on Zoom, you may also wish to toggle from the gallery view, which is right up in the right-hand corner of your screen, to the speaker view, so that you can focus on the person who's speaking. Also, please do not have your radio on or other distracting noises because they come through the speakers. I do have one important announcement. FPC Board of Trustees have met virtually and decided it's in the best interest of the community to close access to our FPC buildings. This will take effect Monday morning, March 23rd, until further notice. A very few people may still enter the church as approved by either Reverend Cindy Landrum or the Board of Trustee officers, Katie Weeks, Sharon Brownfield, myself, and Lee Cooprider. This won't have any impact on the Sunday services except for the drive-in people, listeners, who will not be able to use the bathrooms in the buildings. Please remember, we're only closing the buildings. We are not closing our church. Many of our members and friends are already finding alternative ways to meet with each other, online, phone contact, great list of movies, books, games, are being shared, it will be very important for us all in the next several weeks to maintain that contact. Reverend Cindy has created a phone tree or a connection group circle, which will help with many of the volunteers. We will be checking in with you on a semi-regular basis to see how you're doing and what else we can do to help. With that being said, I now turn it over to Reverend Cindy Landrum, who will start the service.
Just one more technology note for those of you joining us by Zoom. You have a chat box, and you're welcome to use it during the service to say hello to people, to you can say amen to something in the service. When we get to the time of joys and sorrows, we're asking that you cut down on other chatter and just use it for joys and sorrows so that that makes it easier for our lay ministers to see those things that are wished to be read aloud. So other than that, you can feel free to chat with each other there as long as it doesn't become too distracting. And if it does become too distracting, just close it. You can hit up in the upper corner of it to close the chat box without closing your Zoom. And now let's come together in the spirit of worship. Let us worship with our eyes and ears and fingertips, said Kenneth Patton. Never has it been more true. We turn our eyes to screens. Our fingertips touch keyboards and fiddle with the radio dial. Our ears turn to listen to speakers. Across the waves, across the town, across the state, even the country, we gather together. Let us worship with the opening of all the windows of our beings, with the full outstretching of our spirits, said Patton, in familiar words in our hymnal. Today we stretch out our arms not to clasp one another, but truly outstretch our spirits. We stretch out our connections of caring, of courage, and compassion. We stretch out our spirits to bind ourselves in religious community in this new way. Patton concludes, life comes with singing and laughter, with tears and confiding, with a rising wave too great to be held in the mind and heart and body to those who have fallen in love with life. We come together to share those joys and sorrows, that we might know one another and be present to the passing of our days, our trials, our triumphs. We bear witness to the fullness of our lives, no longer shared in one building, but held lovingly across the distance. Let us worship. And let us learn to love, Patton concludes. May it be so. Now I'm going to light our chalice, and I'm inviting Ingrid Holcomb to share some chalice lighting words with you.
Thank you for choosing these wonderful words. I'm just asking my husband to turn the volume down on his computer so there's less feedback. Thank you, Reverend Cindy, for choosing these wonderful words, and it's my privilege to share them with you. This reading is by Reverend Nancy Reed McKee. Our community knows no boundaries. We are not confined by the physical limits of walls, or for that matter, of what often binds us, restricts us, holds us back. We are freer than we know when we release ourselves and each other from expectations of what is needed for true community. We are here together in space. I see you, I hear you, I love you, and I light this chalice, a beacon of this community, holding us all together here now.
Mike Fitzer is now going to lead us in our opening hymn, which is number 316. We're singing the first three verses of Enter, Rejoice, and Come In.
Enter, rejoice, and come in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Open your ears to the song. Open your ears to the song. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Open your hearts, everyone. Open your hearts, everyone. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
Now, as we did last week, I invited a few of you to self-select and unmute your mics as we read our covenant, and then following that, Mike's going to lead our affirmation. So if we have more than a few voices, we start getting that feedback. So just a few of you, pick yourselves and unmute, and we'll say these words together. And those who are mic'd or unmic'd, of course, can also say them from their cars and their homes. Love. Is
love
the spirit,
is
of,
the
this
spirit
church.
Of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant,
to dwell
together
in peace, to seek
the truth and love, and to help one another.
From all that dwell below the skies, let words of love and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung through every land, by every tongue.
And now our Director of Religious Education, Michelle Cote, is going to share a message for all ages.
Good morning, everyone. I am sharing a story from Elisa Permain's book, Doorways to the Soul. She is the storyteller that came to speak to us a few times throughout the years. And this is called The Difference Between Heaven and Hell. Long ago in Japan, an old woman wanted to see for herself the difference between heaven and hell. The monks in the temple agreed to grant her request. "First, you shall see hell," they said as they put a blindfold on her eyes. When the blindfold was removed, the old woman stood at the entrance to a great hall. The hall was filled with round tables, each piled high with the most delicious feast, meats and vegetables, fruits of every kind, and desserts to make your mouth water. The old woman noticed that there were people seated just out of arm's reach of the tables. Their bodies were thin and their pale faces convulsed with frustration. They held chopsticks, but the chopsticks were almost 3 feet long. With the chopsticks, they could reach the food, but they couldn't get the food back into their mouths. As the old woman watched, a hungry, angry sound rose into the air. "Enough," she said. "Let me see heaven." When the blindfold was removed the second time, the old woman rubbed her eyes. For there again, she stood at the same entrance to a great hall with tables piled high with the same sumptuous feast. Again, she saw that people sitting just out of arm's reach of the food with those long chopsticks. But the people in heaven were plump and rosy-cheeked, and as she watched, the musical sound of laughter filled the air. And then the old woman laughed, for now she understood the difference. The people in heaven were using those 3 feet long chopsticks to feed each other. When I read the story, I immediately made a connection with our social distancing that everyone is or should be doing at this time. I had this image of everyone being distant from each other, but still connected. I started to think that it might seem like we're in the same situation as the people were in hell, unable to help ourselves or others. However, then I thought, I have seen so many people more like those in the heaven scene, reaching out from a distance to help others. Through setting up Zoom sessions to keep people connected, so many posts on the forum listing so many suggestions and ideas for all to have something to participate in, to positive actions and messages that I've seen online from so many sources. We can choose to take our long spoons and reach out. We can call someone, send a letter, make a lawn sign with a positive, wave to someone walking by, check to see if a neighbor might need something, maybe even share a roll or two of that toilet paper if you want one of those panic buyers. I think that we will see that by reaching out to help others, we will find that we end up helping ourselves. Tomorrow, I encourage all the children to join me at 11 a.m. for our first FPC kid gathering. We will talk more about how we can care for others. One way is to make each other laugh, so please come with a joke to share. Please be safe, all, but remember that we have long spoons that we can help feed others with positivity as well as feed our own sense of well-being. Thank you.
Wow, Michelle, thank you so much. I have heard that story so many times over the years, and it has never been more poignant or more true than it is right now, and it really just brought a new point of view to that short story. So thank you so much for your words. These are the words of the Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Stevens to hold us in prayer or meditation this morning. Elizabeth Stevens is the minister of the UU Church of the Palouse in Moscow, Idaho, which is actually the church my uncle attends. And so I feel a connection to her when I see her words and feel a connection to family. She writes, "These are strange times. There are so many things that feel unfamiliar. We are still figuring out how to protect ourselves and one another. We are still figuring out social distancing. We are still figuring out phone trees and virtual community. We are still figuring out how to weave a safety net secure enough so that no one slips through. Some of us may not know how to manage these strange new technologies. Some of us may not know where we can find toilet paper. Some of us may not know where our next meal or our rent is coming from. None of us know if we will get sick or how sick we will get. None of us know who we will lose. But we know the things that are important. We know how to manage our anxiety. We know that we are resilient as individuals and collectively. We know how to come back to our best selves again and again. We know how to breathe. We know how to be kind. We know how to be generous. We know that we can count on one another. And we know that when all of us offer what feels right, what feels good, we always, always wind up with what we need. We know that this epidemic won't last forever. We know that the world is a beautiful place and that we are meant to rejoice and be glad in every day we are given. And above all, we know that we are held in a love whose tensile strength is limitless. It will stretch, it will give, but it will not let us go. May we trust in that love in these strange times and in all times. Blessed be. Amen. Mike, lead us in song, please. Our next hymn is number 318, We Would Be One.
For tomorrow,
on the world than we have known today. We would be one in searching for that meaning which bends our hearts and points us on our way. As one, we pledge ourselves to greater service, with love and justice, strive to make us free.
Our reading this morning is going to be shared by Eileen Rudman.
It's a poem, and it's called A Letter in Return, and it's by the Reverend Lynn Unger. She was the poet and is the poet whose poem was read last week as well, called Pandemic. And it starts with the question, and how do you live, and what are your fears during this crisis? What a question to surface after midnight from across the world. In your country, is it the time of day to wrestle all the existential and daily deep dreads until, like Jacob and the vicious angel, they conceded to bless us? I am afraid that people I love will die. I am afraid that my child is inheriting a world so much harsher than what she deserves. I am afraid that desperate times call for desperate measures, and I am not quite desperate enough. Should I go on? I'm afraid that people have wandered away from the very idea of truth. I am afraid we have unlearned how to speak and how to listen. I'm afraid the fabric that holds us together is woven more loosely than I thought, and people keep slipping through. And how do you live? With grief, with fear, with laughter, with boredom, with glee, with contentment, with fury, with hope, with the firm conviction that no thing cancels any other thing out. Death does not cancel life. Grief does not cancel joy. Fear does not cancel conviction, nor any of those statements in reverse. Make your heart a bowl that is large enough to hold it all. Imagine that you are the potter. Stretch the clay. Cherish the turning wheel. Accept that the bowl is never going to be done. So ends the reading.
It's now our time when we share our Sunday offering for those who are able to help contribute to the work of this church and the work of the UU Mass Action organization that we share our plate with today. UU Mass Action does social justice work on behalf of Unitarian Universalist values in our state, particularly organizing with on issues that are coming up before our state legislature. We know that right now our Congress is also in an order not to congregate in large groups here in Massachusetts, but they are still doing work in small committees, and so it's still possible to be affecting them, and the work of UU Mass Action continues, as does our own social justice work. So for this, for the good work of this church and for the good work of that organization, we're now going to give you some time to figure out how to give, if you're able, to the congregation. If you want to donate online, there's a donate button at the bottom of our webpage, and that's just fpc-stowe-acton.org/donate. And then there's also a text number that's in your order of service. You can also mail checks or for donations or your pledge to the church. Our church mail is still being checked, and so things can be mailed to the church as usual. And if you're outside in our parking lot, you can place them in our mailbox as well. So we're going to have a few minutes for people to think about ways to do that if they'd like, and Sanghi will play for us.
It's Ken today.
Right, it's Ken today. Ken Langer is going to play, and this is a special joy. I got to pick which song, too. So here's Ken on guitar.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody to mute your microphones. The great thing about this technology is you can sing along as loud as you want, and nobody will hear you.
Well, except if I sing, the people in the parking lot hear.
Oh, there you go. I find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. In my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be. Let it be, let it be, oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though we may there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. When the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be.
Thank you, Ken. I know this situation has been overwhelming for so many of us. For parents suddenly working from home, navigating professional lives that are adding new skills and new solutions, and are at the same time dealing with young children who are home 24 hours a day, needing attention and needing support, this can be overwhelming. For adults living alone, used to finding social connection out in the world, suddenly isolated at home all by themselves, this can be overwhelming. For people in the medical industry who are suddenly finding themselves overwhelmed with numbers of patients and undersupply, this is overwhelming. For our folks living on the economic margin, unable to stock up on supplies due to economic factors, finding usual sources of support such as community dinners closed and prices rising on needed goods, which are often unavailable, this can be overwhelming. For all of us in a system that has suddenly changed and continuing to change with everyday life disrupted, this can be overwhelming. And in the midst of this overwhelm, I am asking one more thing of you. I'm asking you to think of folks outside of your immediate family and loved ones. I'm asking us to spend a few moments thinking about social service and social justice, and that is a lot to ask. But I ask it of you right now because this is an extraordinary time. This bizarre world we suddenly find ourselves in, it is showing us also so clearly how broken our society is in its ability to care for our most vulnerable and how needed the work of justice is. Our government is quickly becoming limited in what it can do due to the needs of Congress members to also quarantine. Our elections are shutting down in the primary system. Our tax date has even been postponed. In the midst of pandemic, we can't organize a protest on the streets, and we can't lobby on Beacon Hill. But there are things we can do. So this week I polled some of the members of our social justice task forces and asked them what they would recommend for justice work in their areas that can be done during this time of quarantine. And I wanted to share some of their suggestions with you. Neil Saunders says that they intend to keep our weekly peace vigil that goes on outside in front of our church every Thursday evening going as long as possible. No more than 10 people should be there in any week, but they space themselves out along the lawn in front of the church so that nobody is closer than 6 feet from somebody who's not a family member. And they continue to hold their signs and protest for peace as they have done for years, for over a decade. And until we're under orders to shelter in place, this is something we can keep on doing. Steve Evans from our Supporting Asylum Seekers group says that there are still active bills in front of our legislature that we can advocate for. Right now, if you have time on your hands, it's a good time to do some letter writing to our government. On a national level, we need to make sure that xenophobia does not take hold and allow us to further close our borders because of fears of foreigners just because of this pandemic. On an intersectional level, Steve and Mary point out that this is a great time to read the UUA's Common Read book, An Indigenous Peoples' History of the United States. We're going to be doing more work with Indigenous peoples in the fall, so if you have time on your hands, catching up on this important background reading will help you to be prepared for the justice work we're going to do next year. Rick Lent, speaking for our Climate Change Task Force, urges you to take this time to contact your representatives about climate change, specifically the Green Works Bill and the 2050 Roadmap. On a local level, our Climate Change Task Force is working with our building and grounds folks to add more trees to our campus and encouraging our congregation to pass a plan to get our building to net zero by 2035. This work still continues in this epidemic. In addition, the Climate Change Task Force also suggests that this is a good time for people to do some personal actions. It's a good time to eat less meat, to plant a garden, to buy seasonal local produce if you can, to eliminate your use of pesticides, to read books on climate change. All of these are things that can be done during quarantine. One thing I want to say is that we need to let this pandemic permanently change American life. We're seeing now that some things we've been saying for a long time need to change have suddenly become urgent, and other things that people were pushing for that seemed impossible have suddenly become not only possible, but desperately needed. Some examples of what I mean. For the sake of the environment, we need to be cutting down on driving and flying. And with this quarantine, we're seeing that it was possible for us to cut down our driving and our flying. We're seeing that companies that had previously said people couldn't telecommute are forcing telecommuting. And in many cases, that is working. And trips that weren't actually necessary overseas and across the country are being canceled and meetings are being held by Zoom. This is cutting our carbon emissions. And some of these changes we need to make more permanent. We need to fly less and drive less and not just slip right back into the old patterns when the threat of this virus has lifted. Other things that we're seeing that are that changes that have been put off by this country are suddenly urgently needed for, most desperately, comprehensive health reform. We need to seize this moment while the country can see how terribly broken our healthcare system is, where we have so many uninsured and medical debt is crushing so many families, and push for the reforms that are needed, not to be just something that responds to this crisis, but something that offers permanent fixes. And lastly, I want to share these thoughts that came from Donna Lang. She writes, "I have been thinking about the distinction that we sometimes make between social action and social service. And I think at times it is useful. I think now when actions may be limited, we can step up on the service. This may look like checking in with neighbors who live alone or who have kids for a Zoom or FaceTime session to ease loneliness and maybe help out with some homeschooling, supporting local businesses when possible, and most of all, following guidelines for social distancing. Other suggestions are to take the opportunity to read and educate yourself about privilege, intersectional feminism, racism, heteronormative culture, etc. Donate, if you can, to funds designated, designed to support the most impacted. And lastly, be on alert for ways in which crisis sometimes is taken as an opportunity to further erode civil rights and amplify voices who are resisting and vulnerable. This week, I've been working to put a phone tree together for FPC, and I sent out information last night to the 30 or 29 people who've agreed to be callers. I'm calling this system connection circles. And the idea is that every person in our church should have someone who they can check in with and who knows how they're doing. Now, that's not all on these 29 callers. They'll call you once and let you know who they are, but you can call them too as another person who will be connected to you, who can let you know, who you can let know things about how you're doing and what would be helpful to you. You're always welcome to go straight to me or to a lay minister, but reaching out to all 300 of you is more than we can do, so these 30 people are helping with that. But don't let the fact that there are these groups of people doing this stop you from doing it too. Take this time to reach out to someone in our community who you think might need some support, a parent with young kids, a senior living alone, someone you know who struggles with health issues or financial issues or mental health issues. Reach out, check in, ask if there are ways you can support one another, and ask for support for yourself too. In a time of social distancing, we need each other and our connections more than ever. We need religious community. Lastly, if you don't have time for any of the things I've mentioned today, if it's all you can do to get yourself and other people in your home through the day, one day at a time, that's okay. None of this is required for you to do except this. If that's true for you, reach out. Let us know what we can do to support you. If one thing is going to change from this pandemic, let it be the idea that we get through this alone. We don't. We get through this because we help one another in the ways that we can through this time. May it be so. As we sing our last hymn, I want to remind parents and teens that our high school discussion group is meeting at 11, which is in 1 minute. And so I want to remind people that you should have that Zoom instruction in your emails from the high school discussion group leaders, and that's starting in just a moment. And now Mike's going to lead us in a closing hymn.
The promise of the Spirit, faith, hope, and love abide, and so every soul is blessed and made whole. The truth in our hearts is our guide. We are answering the call of love. Hands joined together as hearts beat as one. Emboldened by faith, we dare to proclaim, we are answering the call of love. Sometimes we build a barrier to keep love tightly bound, corrupted by fear, unwilling to hear, denying the beauty we found. We are answering the call of love. Hands joined together as hearts beat as one. Emboldened by faith, we dare to proclaim, we are answering the call of love. A bright new day is dawning, when love will not divide. Reflections of grace in every embrace, fulfilling the vision divine. We are answering the call of love. Hands joined together as hearts beat as one. Emboldened by faith, we dare to proclaim, we are answering the call of love. we are answering the call of love.
Thank you for joining us, everyone. We leave now this gathered community, but we don't leave our connection. Our concerns, our care for one another are still with us. Our service has ended, but our service to each other, to this world, to our faith continues. Until we are together again, friends, be strong, be well, be true, be loving. Mike is now going to lead our sung benediction, which will be followed by our postlude, I believe. And then I'm going to invite cars in our parking lot to honk. And if you are still on the line on Zoom at the end of our postlude, you'll be divided into small groups for some virtual bring your own coffee discussion. I remind people in the parking lot to please keep social distancing of 6 feet or more if you get out of your cars and talk to one another, and that our building is closed, so the restrooms are not available. And now our sung benediction.
Peace be with you till we meet again, as life lays its task before you. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Peace be with you till we meet again.
At this time, I want to invite the cars in the parking lot to give us a round of honking. Wow, that sounds like a lot of cars out there. Welcome, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. Those still on the Zoom call will now be divided into small groups for coffee hour. And this concludes our radio broadcast.